gotta have the heavy podium up here. So pound on it. Yeah, I can move this in there. All right. I'm just sitting there trying to think how to start today. And one of the things I just like to say is, I haven't said this for a while, thank you for coming on Sunday morning. I appreciate that. I think sometimes habits are good, and a Sunday morning going to church habit is a really good thing to have. Because it's so easy to get out of, it's so easy to fall away from. But most of the time, when we come to church, I'll say most of the time, but most of the time we come to church, we should leave feeling encouraged and inspired, is what we should do. We should leave feeling like we met God. And when you meet God, that's going to be an encouragement, and it certainly should be an inspiration. And it's not so much that it's my job to do that, although I've certainly got to do my part in that, but I just want to thank you for coming, and I just really pray God does speak to you. Really cool. And thank you for the testimony. I love the songs. I love the singing. And that last song we sang, it's just, as you, the very beginning of that song, it says, the sin of man and the wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. And we often talk about when Jesus was on the cross, he took my sins in his body on the tree. And that's an awesome thing. But I would have hated to be Jesus. You know, at that moment, you know, it would be fun walking in the water and catching fish and, you know, all that other stuff he did. But there was a lot of his life I wanted. But when he died on the cross and the sins of the world was put on him, well, what a weight that is. We know what it's like when we sin and we feel guilty. Someone sins against us and it hurts. But the weight of Jesus, the weight of the world of sins was put on Jesus. And not only that, and he turned around to say, Dad, God, what am I supposed to do? And God's wrath for all those sins was put on Jesus too at that point. And it's easy to think, it's easy to remember that Jesus took my sins when he died on the cross. But I got to think once in a while, and that song just struck me, that verse, that the sins of man and the wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. And it's like, you know, and that's not like church hype. It's truth. You know, and I don't think we can really comprehend what that was like. I just think, you know, we think, okay, he paid for my sins and God punished them. But man, times how many billions of people have been ever alive on earth, you know? It's like, I can't imagine. Just, you know, I wouldn't want the wrath of God poured out on me. But literally, the wrath of God was poured out for every single one of us. And good songs and good morning. So, I'd like you to just, real quick, just think of something good that's happening to you within the last couple months. Now, some of you might have to think really, really hard. Something good that's happened to you or that's happening to you right now in the last couple months. Give me a chance to think. Some of you guys are like, everybody pretty much has something good. It can be, you know, just, okay. So stand up and tell someone that you don't know. What good's just happened to you in the last couple months? Go. You got 1 minute. Quick. Stand up. I know you're all comfortable. You got a little noise in here, a little waking up. Don't be telling your spouse, all right? Tell somebody. Even you guys. Tell somebody. Morning, all right? Fog's outside, all that kind of stuff. You're here, you had enough coffee, You're getting away. I want to get going on. I am so excited. You could tie in the testimonies a little bit and share our story with people, because it's great news. Because without Jesus taking our sins, and a lot of people you're going to talk to are weighted down by all kinds of sin and all kinds of guilt. They don't always seem like it at first, but there's a lot of weight on people that are carrying around. And to let them know that Jesus took these sins on himself, and that God didn't punish me or you or them. He will if you reject it and say, no, thank you, I don't want you to take my punishment. I'd like to take my punishment, so someday they will. But the wrath of God was laid on Jesus. That's an awesome thing. You have an amazing story. You have a story to share. You have the fact that Jesus died, took my sins, took the wrath of God, was buried, and paid the penalty for our sins. Every single believer has that message. It's hard to share in today's society. So what we're trying to do over the next couple of weeks, is make it a little bit easier for you to do that. I just want to let you know, if you think about praying this afternoon, ICII is coming to the board meeting this week, and Pastor Joseph, you know, the guy from India, and they have a tremendous ministry. He is incredible, this guy. But they're presenting our church with a very unique opportunity to triple, quadruple, whatever, the ministry within India and Pakistan and stuff like that. So if you think about it, pray for wisdom for the elders, and I'll let you know what happens on that. I'm really excited to hear about what it is. They also, I'll just do a little commercial for them. They have a banquet, a fundraising banquet coming up. I think it's in November or the end of October. I'll let you, the first Saturday in November. I'll put some information in the bulletin. It's really cool, because you'll hear a whole bunch more about their ministry. It's really fun. And anyway, I'll tell you about it later. But I'm anxious for today, but the opportunity that God's opening up for our church. But you know what? We are called to share the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are called to share the gospel with our neighbors, starting Jerusalem, Judea, and that kind of stuff. And this is what this series is all about. So this is our 12-step program, our 12-step witness program. First one is to pray. I'm going to review it again, because I need to get that in our mind. It's so important that we remember to pray. Toward anything that's of any value, we're to pray. Why should we pray? Anybody remember? Why should we pray without looking at your notes? Why should we pray?
Because the church is supposed to, the Christians are supposed to pray.
Why is that? We can't do anything without it? Nothing spiritual without the help of Christ. The reason that I think, and the reason that makes me pray, is that because I want it to be successful when I step out. But I want to know, I know I'm going up against the second strongest being in the universe, against Lucifer himself. And understand that people are not the enemy. There's not all these bad people out there. We're sent out to save them, though. We were them. We still are sinful people. But they're owned by the ruler of this evil world system. And sharing the faith is the worst possible thing that we could do to offend Satan. Sharing your faith and sharing hope is the worst thing you could do. It's the most offensive thing to the second most powerful being in this world. That's why we need God to be able to do it. That's why we pray, because we remember who we're up against. I remember mowing before and riding a tractor with a bush hog in the back of it and hit a hornet's nest. You ever reach into a hornet's nest? You ever run into one with your head? You ever mow over a nest? And all of a sudden, things are smacking you all over your body. I just remember throwing into neutral, steering uphill, jumping off, and running for the woods to get into some weeds. That's what it's like, only spiritually devastating, to reach into Satan's kingdom and steal people. That's like reaching into a honeybee's nest and just ripping out the honey. I mean, it's like, we need to pray, because we're up against a major enemy. Please do not underestimate the power of prayer. I've heard a couple stories already of people that have prayed, and just that did amazing things, just that prayer. We'll be sharing a lot of those stories later on. Protocol is the next thing. Protocol, understanding witnessing protocol. Basically, what it is my fake verse last week, witness unto others, the way you would have them witness unto you, okay? It's just be nice. Matthew 5:16. Really interesting things about in Matthew 5:16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why are you laughing? Yeah, I know why you're laughing. Anyway, because I got the word light mixed up. He told it to show you. All right. He called that. The rest, anyway, it's my Irish. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Keith and Sarah Evans were here a couple weeks ago, and they were sharing from the fund about the college ministry, and they just got their newsletter. Becky pointed this out to me. It's really cool. In their newsletter, there's a story. Keith writes this. Listen, it's really awesome. They're working with students and bringing them to spiritual ministry things. Keith wrote, M, that's the girl's name. M sat next to Sarah, a co-worker, at a welcome lunch that we hosted for freshmen. As they made small talk, suddenly M turned and said to Sarah, so I've never been to a religious thing like never, but my roommate is a Christian and is one of the nicest people I've ever met. So when she invited me here, I figured I'd come try it out. That's letting your light shine before men. This is what we're talking about. Be nice. Be nice. Because what's happening, and you know, if you've been to this church for a long time, we've gone over the ministry skills. In Ministry Skills 101, I believe that you are the most attractive thing to this church, not me. All right? Not me. If people walk through that door and you are kind and nice and welcoming to them and don't ignore them, I could have a really bad day and do a really nasty message and they'll come back. But if you're nasty and you ignore them like most churches do that you've walked into before, and you just sit face in front and don't socialize with them, don't welcome them there, don't at least greet them and ask them their name, say it's great to have you here. If you need some help getting to classes here, sit with us. If you don't do that and you ignore them, and I am awesome in my delivery of the Word of God, they're not going to come back. You bring people and keep them to this church. Now, the Word of God and good teaching and practical teaching makes a huge difference. But be nice. So Keith and Sarah ran into that. You know, it's this girl that didn't know Christ says she'd never been to a religious thing. But my roommate, a Christian, is one of the nicest people I've ever met. So when she invited me, I figured I'd try it out. That is awesome. That's protocol. That's being nice to people. On the other hand, when I lived down in Lancaster and I had a business, I was a landlord, and I had a business in the beginning of the Section 8 program, I was going to meet with the person in charge of Lancaster, in charge of all the Section 8 programs, and talking about clients and different things like that. And I remember being in there, well, actually I forgot, Vic reminded me. I remember being in there one time and talking to this lady and sitting down and talking to her, and was talking about to a couple different clients that I had living in an apartment and different things like that. And she stopped in the middle of this and she said something that this happens, I think, more than we think. We just don't always recognize it, but it just happens so fast. She said, you're different than most landlords. Why? And it's like, that's a question you want people to ask you, but you better be ready to walk across that line, okay? Why? Why are you different than most landlords that I talk to in my office? And so, I figured that was an in. I thought that was a fairly good in to share the gospel, you know? And it wasn't because just when I went and talked to her, I tried to impress her so I'd get more clients. It was just kind of my lifestyle. I let people know about Christ in my life as I went. So I said I was a Christian. I chose to follow Christ in high school, and now I try to live like Christ would in my business. And that was my answer to her. In a very short, just a real quick little answer, my response, like Bob and Vicki, like we were talking about last week. And her response was very cool. It was really interesting. She said, I will never become a Christian because my neighbor was a Christian. And that was the end of the conversation right there. I think she forgot protocol. And it's not just witnessing protocol. It's your light. Let your light shine before men, that they will see your good deeds. They will see your face. They will see how you handle problems. Not that you never get down, And because of that, they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what God's talking about as a believer in Christ. To be the kind that, hey, she was so nice when she invited me to church, I figure I'd come. Not that I'll never become a Christian because my neighbor was a Christian. I really felt like asking who her neighbor was and taking my whole church youth group over to her house and TV in the place or something, you know? But I didn't go any farther than that. It was just like, I figured she's going to watch my life. She certainly wasn't open to the gospel at that point. But I thought my life was probably something shining. I don't ever know what happened with her. So, pray. Protocol. Courtesy. Step three. Knowing when they're ready to talk or knowing when they're ready to hear. This is called listening to God. Listen to people. Listen to and for their questions. Watch their circumstances. Watch their mood. Read their face. You know what this is? Treating people like they're people. Not just like they're a commodity in your life or someone to get around or someone to get through or somebody that can give you something. Listen to people. Not someone that will hear your stories. You've got great stories, but it's not always best to just blurt out our stories. Listen to people. Listen to their stories. A lot of people in this world want to tell us their stories. They want to tell you what's happening in their life. Don't get tired. Well, I've heard this again and again. If you keep hearing it again and again, then go home and plan an inn to share the gospel with them somehow. But treat them like people whose sins were already given to Jesus, who God already sent his wrath to Jesus, but they're saying, I don't want it. I want to do it myself. Figure a way to see them as human beings, like people that you care about. I know that's hard to do in this world, and we're almost taught not to do that anymore in society. But don't buy into that. Care for people. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. That's what he came for. We should have a little bit of that in our life. 1 Peter 3:15, the way I memorize the Living Bible, is quietly trust yourself to Christ. And if anyone asks you why he believes you, do be ready to tell them. And so we're getting down into that witnessing. These are prerequisites for witnessing. The fourth step that I think is probably the most important thing in preparing to share Jesus Christ is look for hymns to witness. And I call them hymns. I don't know what, you know, other people call them, but I call them hymns. Hymns to share Christ. And I think getting started is probably the hardest part. Colossians 4:3 says, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And I want to, we shared a lot of stories about our hymns last week. I really enjoyed that. Thanks for letting us do that. Thanks for letting us be a church that doesn't always have one, you know, and I'm going to do it. In my mind, that has some kind of illustration. Sorry. But I just like to hand myself up here. I appreciate you guys putting up with that. And obviously, some people don't, but I can't, I'm going to go ahead. Anyway, John 4. Jesus had this amazing story about Jesus. Interesting hymn that Jesus used. And he went on a little bit farther. We're not going to go real far with it. But in John 4, it's actually 7 to 15. You got a Bible to turn that. I have the verses up here too. And I know you all know the story when the Samaritan woman came. Jesus was sitting down by a well. He sent his disciples into town to buy some food. And he sat down on the edge of a well. And you got to understand, Jesus was one of these persons. He lived for this opportunity. Okay, this is literally everything in his being was about sharing Jesus Christ, sharing himself, and sharing the message. And so he sat down, and the Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And I think this is a really interesting thing. He went across that cultural boundary line, you know. He said, I care about people. I'm not worried about what's right and wrong in the world's eyes. So he first talked to this woman, and that was a big in right there, okay? I love what Jesus did with this. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, this is a question we'll talk to you later. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That living water? What's that? The river bubbling out of the world? Or instead of just a still well, you know, which is my mom's maiden name, still well. John 4:11. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing.
See, he threw out something there that sparked an interest in her. Living water. She came to the well all the time, threw out this living water. John 4, 13 to 15, Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Now, we know what Jesus is talking about, okay? But he sparks an interest in this woman, which each step is an open door, you know? Talk to her. That opened the door. The woman was ready for response. She said, Help me out. If you knew what water I had to give you, that was. And she said, Wow, I'd like this water. The door opened. Jesus went in a little bit farther. It ends up that she gets saved. It keeps opening the door. He keeps following in. And that's the process that we're talking about here. Find an entrance. Find an in. And then only go, like I did with that lady that said, I'll never be a Christian again. I know that was a shut door. She asked me a question. I went in, I opened the door, and then she slammed the door. That's okay. In other cases, it'll go like Jesus. It'll go farther and farther and farther. And that's happened a lot of times in my life also. I just think it's amazing. Now, here's why I'm dwelling on in so much. And we'll get to sharing our testimony in a minute or two. But ends are so important because I think ends, first of all, when we're praying, when we're considering people, when we're listening and asking God, when is the right time? An end is when you go, and either you and the person, and maybe I think it's God, basically. When you're looking for an end, and an end happens, how comes you're not like other landlords? What happened is, without me knowing it, without her knowing it, there was a line drawn in the sand. You ever do that when you're a kid? You and a couple other boys want to play two a couple other boys and they're challenging you, and you say, go ahead, step across that line. You step across it there. There's another one. You know, anyway. You ever in that situation where there's and see, spiritual end become that line. Up until that time, you're just going through life. You're being kind, you're doing, but you haven't had to open your mouth yet. People are seeing a little bit of something different, maybe, and all of a sudden there's some sort of an in, and that's like a spiritual line that is drawn, and if you stay on this side of the line, you're safe. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But an in is like a spiritual line, and you stop and you say, if I step across that line, I'm going into spiritual warfare. I can stay over here and be safe. I can be like everybody else. But if I step across that line, I expose myself and I'm into some spiritual conversation. Okay? I think that's the most important point of all this witnessing and all this sharing Christ. I really do. Because once you step across that line, you're in. You've already opened your mouth. You've already stepped inside their house. And now you're going to be like, oh, I got to do it. So what we're saying is be ready to step across that line. When it happens, when that line is drawn, saying, I've been praying for this. Don't approach it like that, okay? That's just your spirit, right? But don't say, oh, the line. Well, what am I going to do? They said something. It reminds me of something in my testimony. It reminds me of an area in my testimony. And I can say it, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. It's like, oh, what should I say? By that time, they're like saying, duh, are we done our conversation? So the idea is pray for it, be looking for it, and be ready for it. So I think from here on out, once you step across that line, I think it's smooth sailing the rest of the way. Because, you know what? And we'll talk about this at the end of this whole thing. It'll be a huge point we'll talk about. Is it's not about that they accept Christ. It's not about that you close the deal. It's about did you obey. Did you obey God? God is not willing that any should perish. God commanded you and commissioned you to take his message to the world. He didn't tell you to save the world. Jesus came to seek and to save. We came to seek. And we're here to look for lost people and present the message, be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's all. And when and that line is drawn, and you recognize it. Now, that's the scary thing about looking for it, because when you start looking for ends, God's going to let you have them. Okay? He's going to give them to you. So the next thing you have to do is say, am I going to obey? So there's a lot of areas in our life that we need. We're called to obey. You know, you got the Ten Commandments. You know, I wrote someone down on my notes. I don't remember what they are. You got a lot of them. I was going to say some of them. Get to there's another area of obedience that we talk about in church once in a while, with tithing. You know, it's just that line of tithing. God says, listen, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Look all through 1 John. If you love me, you obey. If you love me, you obey. If you love me, if you say you love me, you don't obey my commands. My love is not in you. God says, if you love me, obey my commands. And one of the really cool areas is this tithing. And so many believers say, I love God. Believe God. But when it comes to tithing, I'm not going to obey. And you stay on the safe side of, I'll keep, I'll give God whatever's left over, rather than saying, I'll give you off the top. Because if you ask him, it's obedience that God promises to bless. Obedience always comes blessing. I never understand why church people, I've experienced so much in tithing. I don't understand why the church people don't tithe. It's just a refusal to obey God. So if you don't tithe, that's a sign of what's going to happen when that line's there. Because you've got to do that line. By tithing, we're talking about 10% off the tithe. We're not talking about the offering. The offering is on top of the tithe. God asks for a tenth, and God says, then, now, once you understand what I can do in your account, as you tithe, is I'm going to bless you abundantly, and you're going to be able to even give more, give above that. But that's a line. So that's the obedience song. There's a lot of them in Christ followers. We say we love God, but we don't always do it. So we walk across it. James 1:25 talks about that, you know, that test. And Jim mentioned that today, that test. God sends tests into our life. I think that in is the test. When we see an in coming and we're ready to walk across that line. I think it's what Jesus did. I think it's so cool. So, we were talking about this line and a couple things in this line. If we go back to ends, we talked already about ends that people do last week. Ends. I just want to read a couple of them. Statements people make to you that you can comment on. Often asked questions. Christians are so narrow-minded. And really, that's an in. And all you got to do is be ready to how to respond to that. Well, why do you say that? What happened in your life that you think Christians are narrow-minded? Like, what area do you think we're narrow-minded? So you step across the line, you ask them one question. What makes you think Christians are narrow-minded? Let them ask them a question. And say, if all you want to do is say, oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm a Christian, and here's how I feel, or whatever. You don't have to get into big theological conversations. Other things, I think all religions lead to God. It's just another name as long as you really believe it. That's an end. You get to respond to that. Be ready for that. I read the Bible, didn't really understand much of it. Walking across the line, they said, so what part don't you understand? Tell me, I'll see if I can work on it. You know, I mean, it's just a simple thing that people say a lot. False quotes from the Bible. We talk about out of context quotes. I have my own kind. Here's one I hear a lot from men. I have my own kind of relationship with God. I have my own kind of relationship with God. I've heard that so much, I made a pattern about that. When they say you have your own, you go to church, now I kind of have my own relationship with God. I always ask him anymore. So what does that look like, your relationship with God? It's a legitimate question. If they're opening up the door, I'm going to ask them what that looks like. And it's amazing the answers that we get, you know? And they think they're going to get to heaven because they've made their own relationship up with God. So a lot of my follow-up will be, well, as I read the Bible, that's not the kind of relationship they ask for, you know? And why do you think that you can, like, determine what's right in your relationship with God? You know, it depends on how deep you want to go and stuff like that. That's where you get hit or shot or something like that. But I know if they kill me, I'm going to heaven anyway. So that's great because that would be my pattern from there. But anyway, how can a good God allow this stuff to happen? That's a big question you're going to hear a lot. Prepare for that. Read up on that. Want to know some really cool books about that? Talk to Bob Jr. Okay? There's a talk to a lot of people in the church that have amazing books, and I have some of them all that really help answer that question. It's really cool. But this week, there's another thing, a place I want you to go while I'm still on the ends. This is a long review, isn't it? It's because I didn't say these things before, so it's not really a review. But I think it is, I debated whether you could talk about this, spend time on it, but I think that is the line that we step across the ends. When we say, okay, I'm going to go through that door. Another thing you do that's really fun is what situations you find yourself in, you create ends, okay? A lot of situations. And any kind of death with people, emotionally down, in trouble, events, future talks, fear, sickness, being alone or single people, these are relatable things where you can say, wow. So you feel alone or someone just died, I'm really sorry to hear that. Do you have any idea what happened to their soul after they died? Just whatever. Just ask appropriate questions and those kind of things. People are in trouble. Events, they talk about future events. How about questions you ask? So what do you think? That's a good question. You're sitting beside someone, they're talking about the subject. So what do you think will happen after death? Now, what's your theory after death? What's your theory on the end of the world? You know, aliens are going to take over, you know. I mean, and just go from there. These are just questions that open up a deeper conversation. So what do you believe? Do you go to church? Why don't you go to church? You know, people tell you why they don't go to church. Just asking the question. On a four-wheeler from somebody the other day, asking if they went to church. Got a chance to talk about moths and different things like that. It's just by asking if you go to church. Tell me your theory on, and they'll, you know, tell me your theory on this or that, the other thing. And they'll often ask you yours. And then when they ask you yours, you have like a minute and a half to tell them before they get bored with it, you know. So know what you're going to say really quickly. Make it fast. And different things like that. So here's on the ends. Okay, there are ends. You were supposed to be looking for ends last week, and I'm sure you can pass your homework in into the right, the usher was collecting, but you're going to write all the ends that you saw and think about all these ends. Are there ends in your life? Okay. Then what I'd like you to look at is what questions you have that you can create a thirst in somebody like Jesus did, talking about living water. I'm not going to make this long, but my biggest thing on this is Nick and I doing Amway one time. Someone talked us into getting into this really cool thing. You know, when you walk around and you see someone in the aisle, you see someone you know, and say, oh, how's life? I've got this great business going on. I can't tell you about it right now, but it's just awesome in our life, you know. And so get into Amway for about a four-month period of time. And it was really interesting. This is while I was a youth pastor, and really it just was very interesting. And you go to the rallies, and you go to the sales things and stuff like that. Awesome things, and nothing wrong with Amway. Not picking on Amway. There's a lot of these kind of, you know, the oils and the makeup and the pink Cadillacs and stuff like this. All these things that you can get involved in. And after about 2 months, we were like, okay, we're going to find some people to come in under us so we can go on all these vacations. You know, these people can pay for our needs. And I remember the one time, Vicki and I were in the back of the car with somebody going somewhere. I'm going to where it is. And the whole time we're in the back of the car with this couple that we just barely knew, we were sitting there thinking. And I remember us whispering, how can we tell them about him? What can we say to tell them about him? And the whole way to that event, that was on our mind. We were listening to conversation, looking for an in to share Amway with them. I don't even know if that couple was saved. I don't even know if they were Christ followers. And we were spending all our time with them thinking of an in to tell them about Amway. Now, if I can do that at Amway, if I can do that with Amway, why can't I do that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which would save their souls from all of them? And we found out, we evaluated ourselves, that is still so guilty, we evaluated ourselves and say, we can't serve two masters. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. We couldn't serve two masters. It was either love one, look friends on one, don't have time to look friends on the other, and drop out of Amway because God convicted us that we are here fully to serve Jesus Christ. You don't need to do that if you're in business. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying keep it real balanced. We were not able to keep it balanced. So we chose who we were going to serve. Serve one. And doesn't mean you can't do anything else for a living and all that kind of stuff. But be careful who you serve. But that in is a line. We crossed over the line. God set that line there, share me. And we said, no, we'll share him. And we stayed back here and let people come in our life for 4 months go into hell. And while still serving the church. And, you know, that really convicted us. Once you find him, once you get down this path of finding in, we got it. Now, this is going to take some preparation. This is the fifth step. And the fifth step, we're looking for witnessing patterns. Witnessing patterns. Now, I know as soon as we say witnessing, people get scared. Now, in this church, you're going to hear things like Jen shared today. And you know, a lot of people come up and share their testimony with us, okay? One of the things that you find out about talking about this is
Well, I'll let him talk about it.
Come on up.
I asked him, because when you volunteer to share your testimony in church, God's going to be the one that you talk to, okay? And I'm going to send it to him. Because we find out a lot of people don't really understand testimonies. It's something we know we're supposed to share. So I wanted him to be able to share the same thing he does with a lot of people that come up and share their testimony. This, please learn from the wisdom that I'm going to share with you right now about testimony.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm really honored to be a part of this series because it's cool to be able to look at how we practically take the message of the gospel and make it a part of our own speech and normal life. The thing about this that's kind of scary as one of the teachers is that you can just choose to say, I won't do that. And then it means nothing, you know? That doesn't make it any less true or any less important. But I just want to say again, I just encourage you to put in a little time and effort to making this part of your life. You know, we plan how to make money, we plan how to save money, we plan how to win arguments, we plan how to fall in love, and this is something that's really equally or probably more important. You know, and to take some time to sit down and be like, okay, how can I do this? Is so important. I just want to talk through kind of as briefly as I can at how to share your testimony. And this is something that's really important. The Bible says that this is a powerful thing. Your testimony is kind of like a big fancy word. It has the kind of the connection to like a courtroom, but really in the context of what we're talking about, your testimony is the story of what God has done for you. Okay? That's an important sentence, and I say that really intentionally. It's the story of what God has done for you. Okay, there's a couple points in there. The first one is, it's a story. This is really, really important, okay? This is not a sermon. It's not a lecture. It's a story of what God has done for you. And this is so important. In order to be able to correctly and effectively share your testimony, you need to learn, because it doesn't come natural, you need to learn how to see your life as a story. And this is really weird unless you practice it, to see your life as a narrative, okay? A narrative is just a spoken or written connection of events, okay? It's literally an account of connected events. This led to this, led to this, led to this. It's interesting to even practice this by, like, what's the last movie you watched or book you read, and then just take 30 seconds to connect the main, you know, we all learn in school about plot lines, and, you know, like, everything's good, and, oh, no, there's a problem. Oh, it's better now. Yay, you know, credits. Every movie that's ever been that was worth watching. It was good, it was bad, it was good again, the end. You know? That's how a story goes. That's the narrative. It's the main dots that make it an interesting story. It's not every detail, it's the main connected events. And this is something that you really need to be able to see in your life, to stop and think of yourself, your history, as a story. What are the main connected events that have occurred and are occurring in your life? And this is where we have to stop and remember. So Philippians 2:13 says that it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In other words, he's saying that God is working in you right now. He is working constantly in you. And it is to do two things. To bring your desires, your very desires, and your actions into obedience to him. Your whole self is being transformed into his image as a believer. And that is a story. And it's a really, really important one. Knowing your testimony brings a sense of spiritual reality to your life. I honestly, when I talk to people who have not thought about their life in a spiritual context, It's real easy to feel like not really part of anything. Like you're like the soul or individual organism. But really, we're a part of the story of what God is doing. And when we take time to identify that, it's such an important thing. Knowing your testimony brings a sense of spiritual reality and understanding to your life. Does anybody feel like it's probably a fairly good idea as a human being to have some idea of what your natural born tendencies are? You know, like, I talked to a student recently who said, my grandpa gets real angry, and my dad gets real angry all the time. And so what is it good for him to realize? I have a choice, but maybe I'm going to be bent that same direction. And so I just said, you've got to be prepared for that. In your testimony, knowing the spiritual direction of your life, it gives such a sense of realization to where you can work. Also, in being able to share your testimony, the Bible is so clear. Looking through the Gospels, how many times the apostles talk about the power of them sharing our testimony. You believed our testimony to you, and were saved. People were getting saved because of simply just hearing what God had done in the lives of the disciples. Knowing your testimony and learning how to see it as a story. So the first thing, think about this for a second, actually later. Think about your life as a story of what God is doing. Really important. Some of the common responses that I get when I talk to people about sharing their testimony, first is fear, but that's not a tough one. Like in conversation, when I talk to like some of the things that people often think when we talk about testimonies is, and this is, I'm not trying to downplay this, it's a legitimate thing. I don't really feel like I have a testimony. Have you ever feel like that? I don't really think that I have a testimony. And that's a good place to start. And my question would be, have you accepted the salvation of Jesus Christ? If the answer to that is yes, then you have a testimony. You just never took the time to know what it is yet. I was talking to a group of students recently, and they were real quiet. I was trying to make them feel, you know, like part of the group. And so I was just kind of asking some questions. So where are you from? Where are you from school? And after a while, it just like, so it sort of felt like a quiz. He was just asking. So I was like, so what are your social security numbers? You know, and I meant it like as a joke. You know, I'm like, huh. And they were like, oh, I don't think you have one of those. And I was thinking about this when I was getting ready for this. Because as an adult, I think that it's important to know your social security number. Sure enough, when you're on the phone with the bank or something like that, you have to like, hold it, I gotta go to that secure drawer and find the new car. To know that information is pretty important. But as a child, as a student, they were just thinking they don't really have one just because they didn't know it. I mean, when the reality was that they just needed to take some time to learn it. You know? That's an important thing. If you feel like you don't have a testimony, you've got to think to yourself, am I a Christian? And if the answer is yes, then you do. The next thing that kind of goes off that same thing is that I talk to a lot of people that are like, I don't necessarily know when I was saved. For some of us who were saved either in extreme circumstances or part of a Christian community, we came to mark that date either because it was such a big thing externally or because our community celebrated it like a birthday. I can say that when I was saved, I know how old I was. But some people, they would say, I've just always sort of been a good person. I don't really know exactly when I was saved. I've just kind of always been saved. And then you have to stop there and think for a second. You're either saved or you're not. We know that all of us are born lost. And we die lost unless we get saved. So if you're saved, that means that happened at some point. There was a moment when you crossed from death to life, believing in Jesus and his forgiveness for your sins. And so it's really important to stop and think. For a lot of you, if you think, I'm not exactly sure when I became a Christian, that seems like a real important thing to sit down and think about for a while. And if you feel like maybe I'm not a Christian, then you should deal with that. Or you can say, when did I cross that line in belief? I might not know the day or even the year, but what time in my life that I crossed from death to life. That's so important. And I think the one that I hear a lot, and this is from maybe sort of church people who get deceived because of the testimonies that we hear. I talk to a lot of people who say, I got saved at a young age, so I don't really have like a, and I've been like a Christian my whole life. My testimony is not really that exciting. You know, because we've all heard stories of people who stand up here and say, you know, I got shot, and I was on drugs, and I used to be like this bad person, and now I'm saved, and I love the Lord, and I preach. And we're all like, yeah, that's awesome. What a transformation. And sometimes what that leaves us, people who never really did those things, it's sort of thinking like, you know, my testimony is not really that exciting. And a lot of people think that. And that is such a lie. This is why. The Savior of the universe died
and was resurrected for you. That's a part of your story, what God has done for you. So Jesus is part of the story. That makes it pretty epic. The only way that we forget that is if we stop thinking about his part and we only think about our part from a human perspective. And the second thing is, if you feel like, I don't really have a lot of exciting stuff, anybody that has a sinfully exciting past will testify to you that sinfully exciting past means present baggage, even in forgiveness. And you should be thankful that you do not have that. Amen from anybody?
Amen.
Absolutely. So that, and this is plays in later, because when you share your sinful past with people who are not at that stage yet, and you show in your testimony what happened to you because of that, you save others from going that same way. Okay, so you know, don't have an exciting story. Get rid of that. It doesn't. You have an exciting story because of what God has done. Oh, I gotta go faster. I need at least 5 minutes. And another one that I hear, this is mainly from older people. When I say, "Would you like to share your testimony in 10 minutes?" They're like, "Oh, how would I do it in 10 minutes?" I'm like, I've been alive for a long time. God's done a lot in my life. How do I share it in 10 minutes? Okay, you've got to remember that this is really important, because you have to be able to do it in a timely way. And when this turns into conversation, it gets even shorter. If, let's say somebody was at my house and they're like, "Hey, how do you, what are the directions to get to your church?" And I'll be like, "Oh, sit down, this is going to be good." Okay, first, when you're right there at the driveway, you're going to turn right. And then, you see my mailbox there? That's really cool. I actually got that mailbox for free out of somebody's trash. And you go down there on North Station Road, and the first road you're going to come to is the left. And there's that really huge tree there that sometimes people use as a landmark. So you take that left, and then right through this numerous bus bar. You know, did I ever tell you about, see, like, what happened there is I got way too wrapped up in the details. What are directions supposed to be? Turn right out of the driveway, turns up on 895, and then you're there. Pretty much, okay? It's supposed to be the main points. The largest change of directions, not like go straight, go straight, go straight, go straight, turn left, go straight. That's all directions are. And so sometimes we get bogged down because we honestly, your life is meaningful to you, and that's a good thing. But in a 4-hour testimony, we're talking about the main dots, the main turns and changes that took you from where you were to where you are. And remembering that it is all about Jesus. A lot of times, and we can all agree to this, when I say to somebody, "Would you like to share about what God has done to you?" The first thing you think of is the struggles that you've had. Because we like to have that camaraderie, that empathy from people. So it's easy to see this as a platform to share the personal struggles that you've gone through. But this story is about Jesus. It's the spiritual connect the dots, okay? So this is, here we go. This is what I tell people, how to share your testimony. It is connecting the spiritual dots. What were the big turns, the big lessons, the big changes that God has done to you to get you from where you were to where you are? And the first one is always salvation. The first one is salvation. Any time that you were alive before you were saved is leading up to that first spiritual dot, because before then you were dead. At whatever age that you were saved. So in that salvation experience, you talk about what led you to the point where you were ready to accept Christ. And then you do not downplay what happened. I hear this all the time from Christian people. "I got saved at a young age, but didn't really do anything a whole lot in my life." That's a lie. And that just leads us to spiritual apathy, because when you were saved, you crossed from death to life. You were not the same anymore. A new life begins. It's as different as life and death. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And this is your opportunity to say that, to testify to the fact that I'm alive now. When I was 4 years old, I became alive. I crossed from death to life, and I have security forever. That's my testimony right there. That's awesome. So it starts with salvation and saying what happened to you at salvation. That's the part where it's about the Lord, not about yourself, but what he is doing in you. And then from there we go to main lessons learned. those main spiritual turns in the direction of your life. And listen, you can't identify these unless you think about it. Anybody ever ask you for directions, like on the street? They have for me, and you know, I'm like, I drive that way all the time, and I'm like, can I like turn around for 5 minutes and like think about it? You know, I'm not exactly, I do it, but I just don't know how to say it. You know? It's the same with your testimony. You've got to be prepared. And the thing about those main spiritual dots that can be kind of interesting is that it's really easy sometimes to pretend that they didn't happen because I made wrong turns. It's a part of what God has done in me to redeem me from my own mistakes. And sharing the wrong turns is really, really hard. What do people think different of us now? What do people think different of my family now? What if they think less of me now? God be praised, because the only way that I'm any kind of any good is because of Jesus. And that's a hard thing to admit to people, but wouldn't it be a better world if we would do that? The only kind of good that's in me is because of him. Praise God. You know? The main lessons, the spiritual changes, those surrenders, those sins that led you from then till now. And remember, this is an appropriate way for the setting. So when I'm speaking to middle schoolers, the dots that I use in my testimony are dots that are relevant to middle school. And I know them because I thought about them. And me personally, I gave them little names because it makes it easier for me to understand, to remember. So I have my salvation, I have praying in school, I have the Blockbuster lady, I have deception, and those are all like turns that are in my life, okay, that mean something to me. Now, I don't just say that because that would be like, what? That's not very good direction. But I can tailor my testimony to the people that I'm testifying to. It's not all of them. You know, you can take the ones that are relevant. And always, we end our testimony with what God is doing now. One, because it's good for me to stop and think, what is God doing for me now? And if I put you on the spot right now and said, what is God doing in you now? Many of you would not really know what to say. We know that God is doing something in you now, but unless you take time to identify, you're going to miss it. What is God doing in your life right now? Okay, wrapping up. Things to remember while you're sharing your testimony. If you aren't excited, no one will be. If you are not excited about what God, and I don't mean like, I mean like, if you aren't passionate about saying, and if it doesn't sound like you believe what you're saying, you ever hear anybody give like a sales pitch and it's like, this guy doesn't even want to buy that. If you're not excited about what you're saying, then no one will be. And all you need is testify to the fact that the whole subcontext of what you said is Jesus is boring. Stay cynical. You have to be believing in what you say. When you say, I cross from death to life, remember what that means to you forever, and let it be shown in your face and your voice. And the next one is, no preaching. This is never, ever, a testimony is never a time to preach. You can tell real easy because if you ever start saying you instead of I, it is no longer a testimony. And it is not appropriate unless somebody said, would you please preach your testimony? Okay? Nobody's saying that. It's about me, what God has done in me. Okay? I was gonna think of some like fancy phrase. There is no team and testimony or whatever. So it's about you. You don't say, so you guys need to remember. You say, this is what I remember, because it's about you. And then the last one, I kind of touched on this a little bit, but this is the power of testimony. Whenever you share the ups and downs of what God has done in your life to lead you to where you are, there is always going to be that. What do you think differently? It's vulnerable to say my story to a bunch of people who might talk about it with other people. This is for the glory of God. And for his glory, I will sacrifice my anonymity or my comfortableness. And remember that I'm done, by the way. Are you wrapped up?
Yeah.
The end. I'm sorry, I went too long.
No, that's great. That's great. We can go twice as long and all this stuff. I think this is probably, besides coming to know Christ, this is to be able to cross over that line. So the line is set before. To go across that line, you really do need to study your testimony. Brings us to this week's assignment. This week's assignment, okay? And I don't like the word assignment, so this week's exercise, this week's homework, this week's project, and this week's study, all right? What I'd like to do, because I know not everybody's going to get out of the paper budgets down, a lot of people are listening to this and thinking you're going to do well with it, but really think through, I think it'd be good to write or practice the points of your testimony. Think through those terms in your life. I think it's really good to write it down. I used to write mine down all the time because I used to share it publicly, and then it went into my private life. It just became kind of a natural thing. Like, I'll think of it as a natural thing, but just think of those natural, what are the points in your testimony? So I'd like you to think through, I think if you're serious about this, write it down. Somehow allow it to soak into you. So you don't have to, when you step across that line, you're going to be scared enough anyway. You want it to come natural. Okay, learn how to use that tool. So you don't have to think how to, you know, how to do that. And I would think, what ends lead to part of your testimony? We'll talk about that, probably start there next week. You're not going to share your whole testimony. This is why it's so important to have the points to remember. Because if someone talks to you about, you know, fear of dying or fear of something like that, you know, well, when I was a child and I accepted Christ, and then, you know, you don't want to have to go through all the points of your testimony to get there. At that point, you just skip to that point of your testimony. This point of my testimony fits this end that someone just gave you. Because you really only have 1 to 2 minutes maximum to share when they open up that door. They're just only listening, especially when it goes religious, they'll only listen for 1 or 2 minutes, probably, maybe not even that long. So you don't have time for all the other stuff. You can take a point, and when you're interested, then later you go back and go through some of the points of your testimony. One of the things that we're going to start next week, and you really need to understand the points of your testimony, is we're going to say now we get the points of your testimony. We got an end. We step across that line. Now I'm in the spiritual realm. I've chosen to go. I've chosen to be obedient to God. Now I'm going to share that one point with you when they open the door farther. Then how can we take this to the gospel? Okay? And we're going to be talking about how to transition from once you're across the line, from your testimony to the gospel, and literally to take it to the gospel of Christ. So you don't say, yeah, I had this experience and God helped me. Well, how did God help you? And who is God? And why? But just really taking it into the gospel. So you become not just sharing your testimony, but then leading that testimony to the gospel from one of the points in your story. Really, really cool stuff. I know some of you guys already do this. So for us, it's a refresher course, okay? Some of you guys, this is really scary. Please take my word for it. It's not scary. The scariest part is the obedience that God puts that in front of you as you're praying. You step across the line. Now you're into it. And now you're going to do it. And we'll talk about what if it doesn't make sense. We'll talk about all that stuff in the next couple of weeks. But just stepping across that line is like, wow, I heard about that. I saw God working in my life for bringing me to this point. And I got a chance to get caught. That's what most of you guys want. And so I know some of you guys are doing this, but I'd say we're already doing it. But you need to step up our game a little bit, which is a game, but step up a little bit. So really cool. I'm looking forward to it. Please take this seriously. This is probably the most practical thing we can do for new believers and old believers in Christ. And to really get to know God in this way. Because when you do that, the Spirit of God literally just drops on you. And Bob called out the thing about being ashamed that, or, you know, the line, you know, like, who repent of being a Christian, who repent of being a Christian. You start doing this, you step across that line, and it will be the most exciting thing. You'll get a rush out of that. You'll get a spiritual high out of that. And God will choose you. You know, even if the door slammed in your face, I walked out of that Section 8 office and thought, that was awesome. It was really neat. And the results on our video, the results of God, that is really not the pressure, but we'll get another sermon there. Lord Jesus, thank you. The challenge we have this morning. There's ends all over the place. And we get so distracted when we see it. We wonder why God is using us, God is wanting us. But we need to be aware of it. We need to put on the full armor of God and be ready for that spiritual battle, not just carry it over our shoulders. When you lay that line in front of us, God, I pray that we're ready to step across. I think a lot of us are looking for those opportunities. Your spirit is looking for those opportunities, and I think we're creating to step across that line to obey you. I pray we step across that line, and once we're there, Lord, I pray you understand the points of our testimony, because that's the best story. You're an amazing God. Thank you for this opportunity we have to obey and step across the line in such a simple, easy way and show that our faith is way more than words. It's the way we live. And it's my world, this whole town to be. Let me know it's fun. Thanks for coming, guys. Great having you. Thank you for choosing today. Especially when I give you assignments.
You did.